from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now, here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
Rich, we are back for another week of the Chatterbox Video Gamer Radio Show. My name's Alon. You're?
Rich.
Like I just said. Ara's not here
what
this week.
What up?
What? What do you want from me?
Nothing.
Hey!
Hey!
Do you want to give out shouts?
I was just saying what up.
Okay.
That's all.
Good. And shouting to your homies?
What up?
All right, good. So Ara's not here this week. He's off doing some sort of vacationing, Christmassy stuff. We weren't here last week because of preemption from some local sports, but we're back now, and we don't expect to be off the air for quite a while. So,
yeah,
welcome back, everybody. Next week, of course, New Year, and actually, that will bring us up to our fifth year anniversary.
Were Sweet.
You aware of that? You've been listening from close to the beginning, Rich.
I've been listening. I'm gonna say 3 years since I started listening is gonna be my guesstimate.
How long have you been actually visiting the show?
I've been here for, I don't know.
Dude, time flies.
Numbers and days together.
Dude, our first airing show was, I guess, 2004, like January 19th, 16th, 13th.
Crazy.
I don't know, something around there. So we're hitting 5 years.
I'll tell you long how I've been here. I've been here long enough that I now actually have my own Chatterbox business card.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
All right, so we've got some things to talk about this week. Actually, not a huge amount. After Christmas passes, it's just a big dead zone. Not a lot of news is
going
on.
What's up with stuff?
but there are some things. For instance, recently I got to play some WiiWare games, and I haven't really ever played any WiiWare games. So the first one I ever played was Defend Your Castle. I was at some like Christmas party a few weeks ago. Very early Christmas party at a friend's place, and I got to play Defend Your Castle. It was kind of cool, kind of lame all at the same time. It might have just been lame because I didn't play from the beginning, so I didn't quite understand it. I just jumped in someone else's game. Have you seen that, Rich? Have you seen any WiiWare games?
No.
All right, good. So the answer is no.
You have to ask. It's on Wii. No, I haven't played.
It's one screen that doesn't move, and you just have a castle on the right side, and there's just all these stick figure dudes that run after you or run towards the castle and try to break it down. And if I remember correctly, some of them might be slightly different than others. Like some might have sticks or something, but you just point and shoot at them. Like ding, ding, ding.
Do they have Rampart on like the Wii Virtual Console yet? Like that's what they need.
Rampart is available somewhere on one of the systems, I believe.
It's on PS3. Oddly enough.
Really?
It's not on 360. I'd be playing like mad if it was on the 360. Because Rampart is amazing.
I think it's available in one of them. I agree with you. I liked Rampart. But it's good. Like, the arcade had a trackball on it, and I think part of what made it awesome. And it's pretty rare that people use trackballs these days.
Yeah, well, so. See, I played it. We played it all the time. Well, I mean, I played it back in the day when I was, like, a little kid. But my roommate had it on his Xbox. Like, he had an emulator on the original Xbox.
Yeah.
We played with just the Xbox controls all the time.
Well,
amazing.
But don't you have an Xbox?
Not an original.
Crazy. Dude, I have like three of them.
Yeah.
All right.
And they're awesome.
Well, we'll
playing Rampart is awesome.
We'll do that one day. But the arcade version was actually pretty cool. It had three player areas, trackballs, and I'm with you. Like, it was always one of my favorite games. And it had
so simple.
It had true voice in it.
Yeah.
Like, I can't even remember what the words were. Like, rebuild, fortify your castle or something like that. And that was back in the day when that was rare. So, anyway, I've been playing WiiWare games. This Defend Your Castle game is kind of neat. And, like, you can build up your castle with special dudes, but it's mostly lame. But recently, so I got to play a few more games. Let me tell you, you might feel a little bit guilty about it, but it's really cool to have a friend who pirates lots of games. Because then you can play them all. So go out and find yourself a friend who doesn't feel bad about stealing, and then you can play all of those games on their Wii. So got to play a few games. Helix was the game that I'm excited about. It's also a good reason to go traveling to other people's places over Christmas holiday. Anyway, side story.
You describing Helix was really funny, by the way, this morning. I walked in to work, and he's like, oh, I've been playing WiiWare games. This is Helix, and it's like this dance game. I don't know. I'm not going to describe it. But Alon gets up in his office and starts doing these dance moves where he's swinging his arms around and jumping. It was really funny.
I am going to describe this to our listeners.
Go ahead.
And it's very difficult without the ability to provide a visual aid like
you
I had with
put
you.
Put a video up of just you doing stupid movements, not playing the game. I'm just exampling on what the game's like.
You know, I could, but I'm probably not going to.
Yeah.
All right, so let me try to do this, and I'll try to do it in under 2 minutes, and maybe you, listener, can... You know, I'll go into the chat room and see if our live listeners feel that I've described this aptly. All right, so Helix. It's a game with an avatar on the screen, like some dude, but he's faceless. He's kind of like an alien, right? But he's humanoid. Long arms, long legs. And at the top of the screen, there's an area where stuff scrolls by, kind of like the words in Rock Band scroll by, right? From right to left. The only thing that scrolls by is this horizontal bar of varying lengths. And in the middle of the bar is just a little circle to indicate what the middle of the bar is. The humanoid guy on the screen... There's all this techno music plays, and it's like Dance Dance Revolution where you select a song to play, and so you're playing that song, which has a certain sequence of movements associated with it. So when you play, you know, techno song A, then the music starts, and the guy performs a dance move, and that move might be raise left arm, you know, raise right arm, or do like the staying alive move where like one arm is down to the right and one arm is up to the left, right? You know what I'm talking about? Anyway, see, I can make the hand movements to you,
yeah,
but not the people listening. So, anyway, does all these moves, does the, what's, not the Running Man, what's the one where you take the two fists and you, like you're churning butter?
I don't know what it's called.
I don't remember.
Churning butter?
The white boy dance is basically, right? So, anyway, the avatar guy will do this motion, and then about a second later, more like a quarter second later, the bar at the top of the screen goes by and tells you when to do the movement that he just did. So you don't do the move as he does it. You do it slightly after he does it. So he tells you what you're going to do, and then you do it.
So is it like more like Parappa the Rapper, where it's like, here's a series of moves, and then do
mix
it?
Mix the crack into the bowl.
Or is it like just a continuous, I'm doing moves a quarter of a second after the dude's doing it, and it doesn't stop?
You're always doing it afterwards. But, I mean, there's a lot of breaks.
But there's, like, breaks. Okay, there's...
Yeah, there's...
I was thinking it was just like a constant, like, oh my crap, I'm a half second behind.
No,
doing
but
all
I mean, there are some where there's like five movements
but there's
in
like
a row.
There's a series of movements, and then it gives you like some time. And,
certainly some are longer than others. So one would be like in a semicircle, take your arm from down at your side, swing it out to the side and then up above your head, and then lay it down after you wait a second, right? And so then you'll see the bar scroll across the screen, and depending on where the bar is, right? That's it. Basically tells you just when to perform the move.
Yep.
And then lights up green if you do it correctly, and red if you don't. But the result is that you're just doing these like techno-y dance moves.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, me, when the music's rolling, I'm dancing, which must really disturb the Wiimotes, by the way, because I move around a lot anyway. So of course the girlfriend comes home and she's like, wow, you probably play this better than everybody else. I'm like, you got to give this a try. And, she did not like it so much, but she enjoyed watching me make a total fool of myself.
Now see, is it two Wii remotes or is it like the Wii and the Nunchuck?
Oh yeah. No, I didn't mention that. It's two Wii remotes.
Cause I was thinking, I'm like, when you stretch your arms out like that, you break the Wii remotes.
Oh yeah, you totally would. No, it is two Wii remotes. And every time you play a song, you have to tell it which Wii remote's in the left hand and which one's in the right hand. Which is another thing I liked about it. It took, you know, what is available to people. You've got Wii remotes, and if you're cool, you have more than one.
If you have a Wii without two Wii remotes, you just shouldn't have it.
Yeah. It says at one point, like, it's better to play with two, so I presume that you can play with just one, but that's kind of lame.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it allows you to play with the nunchuck.
Because,
you're right. I mean, you certainly wouldn't be able to do some of the moves because your arms have to stretch apart.
Like, if you give it to a kid, like a smaller person, but, like, you have long arms.
But I would point out to Konami that using two Wii remotes is a better solution for their Dance Dance Revolution party games, because they want you to use your arms, and sometimes you have to
know,
spread them out, and it would break the cable. So, maybe they should consider using two Wii remotes as well. Anyway, so that was actually a lot of fun, and I like games that make me sweat a little bit, so that was cool. But also, like, I'm a big music game nerd, so I like that stuff. Anyway, there are a few other games I played. I'll talk about those after the break, and then we'll discuss maybe a little Adam Sessler, maybe some digital distribution. Peggle? Sure. And if you have something you want to talk about, head on the website, chatterboxgameshow.com, live chat, and tell us what you think.
You're listening to Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio again! And I am on our live chat trying to see if people think that I gave a good description of Helix.
So what do they say?
Can you hear me typing?
Nope. So what's Pen 15 say? He's in there, right?
If he's Pen not... Pen 15 apparently is hanging out with Ara. I don't know if he's hanging out with him right now, but he was.
Oh!
So I'm actually curious to have Pen call in and tell us about his experience
with
Ara.
So where'd they go out?
And what sort of special games they played.
Where'd they go out to? They go out for dinner, a movie? What'd they do?
I don't know. But I can just picture them both blushing heavily.
Oh, man.
All right. So before we continue, I'm not going to forget to mention UAT, the University of Advancing Technology. Visit their website at uat.edu to learn more about what they can do, which is basically teaching you how to become a game developer or designer or what have you. I was saying that I played Helix on WiiWare, and there were a few other games that I got to play on WiiWare over the break before we came back to the air. And I have this general sense of glee or cheer or just... I've talked in the past about how Xbox Live Arcade and the... Is there anything... We call these all casual games or just non-disc games? Like, is there a word to describe PS Network?
I think that people... They use casual games as the name. I don't think it's a good name.
Yeah,
but that's just the name that's applied to them.
Well, these digitally distributed Big Three... console games,
download only games.
Yeah. I'm more interested in these digitally distributed games than pretty much all the other stuff. Like when I finally got my PS3 and bothered to take some time on the PlayStation Network and checked out what games they have available, and I saw stuff like, I can't even remember, what was that game that I was talking about?
Where on PS3?
Yeah, where it's this overhead of a map of like real satellite imagery, and you're like saving people from zombies and stuff.
I know what you're talking about. I don't know what the game is.
I can't. I was very happy to see that. Got the demo of that, and then Echo Chrome is also a really interesting game. I don't know how much it actually keeps my interest in the long run, but it was a very interesting game.
It was fun for a little bit.
If I actually bought it, I would play it more. Like the demo kept me wanting more, so that was good. Of course, the demo was very short. So then I go on to Xbox Live Arcade, and you know, Geometry Wars is still one of my favorites, and I actually have a lot of those games. Ara and I played Schizoid for a really long time. That was a lot of fun. I play Catan still and Carcassonne.
Uno
is really kind of lame.
It's oddly a very popular game on the Xbox Live Arcade.
Yeah. Oh, Fopo says it's called Soul Survivor. It's not. It's actually called The Last Man, but... That his name of Soul Survivor made me remember that it's called The Last Man. So anyway, these games are really exciting me, and so I was glad I got to play some WiiWare games. It's unfortunate that, you know, like a lot of other games, a lot do suck. But there was actually something on Joystick that I noticed right before the show, like top 10 WiiWare games, or I guess Wii downloadable games of 2008. So I got to see a list. Five of them were just virtual console games, and five of them were other games. You got Ron calling, you know? Yeah.
Should I answer it?
Yeah, answer it on the show. Ron Workman from Destructoid's calling.
Ron, what do you want? You're calling me.
Can't you put it on speaker? What are you doing?
Hold up. I think that's working now. This is good radio right here. This is good radio right here.
We're not
Ron.
Recording the podcast. We're live on the radio.
Are you recording the podcast?
Make sure the speaker's by the microphone, dude.
Oh, it is.
Hey, Ron, you're on Chatterbox Video Game Radio.
Hold on. I can kind of hear you, but not really.
Ron, you fail.
Hey, I fail. I had a present for you, man. Screw you, then.
What's my present?
I don't want to say it on air.
Okay. Yeah, this is.
I got you very set up for something very cool at CES.
Oh, sweet.
Took care of you.
Does that just mean he got you into the Adult Entertainment Expo?
CES?
No, he's not, because he's lame.
Oh my God, he's gonna miss it.
I think he just got you entrance to the AVN Awards or the.
That's not exciting.
Easy. Of course, I got him passes for that. That's easy, man.
That's easy.
All right. Yeah. Well,
anyways.
Ron, unless you want to talk the good stuff, we got a show to do.
Yeah, we got to go, Ron.
Oh man. Can people hear me right now?
Yeah, you're on the microphones.
All right. I have, if you want it, I have you an interview with Carlos Farrell. He does the voice of Dominic Santiago on Gears of War.
That he does,
yeah. He's going to meet up with us Thursday night. We're going to dinner and stuff, and then we're going to a couple parties, which I have got you an invite for a Street Fighter tournament, if you'd like to be involved in that. And then there is a Street Fighter party, and then there is the Sony Online party, which I have taken care of you. I don't know if you got the email I sent you today.
Oh, no, I haven't checked
my
email.
Well, screw this. I'm going to CES now.
You better be checking that.
Dude, I'm checking my Sony email.
Dude, Ron,
and then
when I went
Friday
to...
night, our entire group is going to play some Resident Evil, and then we have a Resident Evil party. Our entire group is going to go down to that. Which is
Resident Evil's racist, Ron.
Ron, you're such a dick. Dude, I went to CES a couple years ago, and it was lame sauce. There was nothing video game at the whole show.
The Microsoft party at Club Q on the roof on Thursday, which is...
Oh, man.
Alon is so angry
right
now.
When is this show?
Hey,
dude,
Alon,
I can drive down.
Let me tell you something that happened a few years ago at the Microsoft party. Me and Dale North and Rob Suma and Nero went to
Rob
it.
Rob Suma.
Robert Suma, yeah.
That just makes me laugh.
Yeah. And we are on the roof of Club Pure at a Microsoft party, so we're pretty blown away. And we decide to see what the bar would give us, because drinks are on the house, right? So we walk up and got bottles of Cristal, which, according to the bartender, were $1,500 a bottle. And then we proceeded to pour them off of the balcony.
You're a retard.
And laugh harder than possibly I've ever laughed in my entire life.
That's really funny.
Now, Alon, you're saying I'm retarded, but how many chances in your life have you got to not just get a $1,500 bottle of champagne completely for free, right? Not just do that, but then proceed to pour it off the balcony because it's Microsoft's money.
All right. So
tell me you wouldn't do that.
Hey, if I take time off and go to the show, you're going to get me into these things too?
What is it?
You're going to hook a brother up if I go to CES?
No, Alon, I cannot understand him.
Yeah, he wants to know if he shows up to the CES, if you can hook him up.
Yeah. Absolutely.
All right, what are the two most important days to be there?
Hey, you know what, Alon? We have one space left in a hotel, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, don't worry. I got a place to be in Vegas if I need to be anyway.
9th, 10th, 11th.
What are the two most important days to be there, Thursday and Friday?
Most important.
Thursday and Friday.
Because I can't take the whole week off of work.
We've got a hotel at the Flamingo with one room left in it. The Capcom stuff's going to be at Planet Hollywood, and the Sony event is at the MGM. I sent an email to Rich, or Nameless Ted, whatever you want to call him. And he knows the information about the Sony Online party, so if you want to RSVP for that, Ted's got the email on how to do it.
All right.
What I'm saying is I'll take 2 days off.
I will take 2 days off of work. You tell me which ones.
Thursday and Friday, Alon.
I will personally take you to the Porn Awards with me if you stay through the weekend.
All right, we will talk off the air.
We'll figure it out later. Take it easy, Ron.
I've got your pass squared away for the adult video, whatever it's called.
All right. Sounds good.
All right.
All right. Well, message me later when you guys are done.
All right.
I love you, Ron.
Bye.
All right, that was an unexpected call from Ron Workman.
That's some fun radio right there.
Yeah, co-founder of Destructoid.com. We didn't plan for him to call, right?
That was just random. He messaged me earlier, and he was like, get in bed. I'm like, I got some radio show.
Dude.
And then he called, so.
All right. So I have to take Thursday and Friday off.
Dude, you got it. Yeah, well, you don't work Saturday or Sunday typically. So,
no, of course not.
So, yeah, just those are the days I'm taking off, too. Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Dude, you got to go. Dude, plane tickets are cheap, unless you're driving.
Oh, I would drive.
In which case, I could just cancel my plane ticket then.
You could just cancel.
It was only like 120 bones, and it's refundable, so.
All right. Well, we will talk about this after because this is
We'll figure it out because we're talking about things that nobody cares about.
No, they want to hear the nightlife and the cool stuff that
afterwards.
Ron does do all the fun stuff. Like, I remember I had a professor in college who, when we went to E3, there was some award being given out. And I can't even remember what it was, but they were big companies there. Back in the day, like 10 years ago, the game industry wasn't as big. It was still big and stuff, but it wasn't as big. So they had some award because they have a million different awards things that happen like with small groups of people. And EA won an award for something, but no one from EA was there to collect it. Have I told you this story
yeah,
before?
I've heard this one.
All right. So my video game professor, who had sort of like started me in this whole, you know, 10-year thing of going to these game conventions and things, he was at this awards program. And no one from EA was there to pick up this award that they won. So he just walked up and accepted it on behalf of EA. Like, you know, because no one checks your ID when you walk up to the podium. He's like, yeah, I'm whomever, right? And he got it. And then they wrote on their website, which was essentially a blog before blogs existed, kind of like The Onion, but for video game stuff, talked about, you know, how they were holding the prize hostage from EA and stuff. And so he did cool stuff. And Ron has a large pair of balls, so he does stuff like that too. And I think that's why people love Destructoid so much. So
he's not able to tell most stories on the radio.
No, but that was a good
that
one.
That one was a good one.
So now, damn it. So now I have to take... I just took a week off of work.
Yeah, you did.
I just took
Why'd
a week.
Why'd you take work off for Christmas? Seriously.
Man.
CES is way cool.
Luckily, I have plenty of time.
Yeah.
All right.
You do what you want.
All right. We're going to talk about actual stuff when we get back. Stay tuned.
Hello, it's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's number one. Woohoo!
All right, and we're bouncing back from that fantastic radio of party planning. I think Norm's answering the phone. I think we still have Scott. All right, we've had people waiting to talk to us this whole time. I was going to talk about WiiWare. I got sidetracked talking about digital distribution, which I still want to talk about.
Yeah.
I'm excited about these games.
And then Ron had a call.
That was cool. I'm torn now. I have
now,
to, like...
Now, Ron's just like, oh, I could take a day of work off.
The only thing stopping me is the fact that I took all of last week.
Yeah. Just ignore that. That was last year. This is this year.
Yeah, that was 2008.
Well, in a day, it'll be now. Yeah, whatever.
Anyway, we've got Scott and Penn on the line, so let's go ahead.
Oh, wow.
Scott, you are on the air.
Hey, guys. I don't know how I can follow that, but okay.
Yeah. Well, listen, you're no Ron, but you are the great and mighty FOPO. So, okay. Thanks, by the way, for the Soul Survivor comment that got me the Last Man title in my brain. All right, so let's talk. What do you want to talk about?
Yeah, so I was watching a video a little while ago from Adam Sessler. I know G4 doesn't really hit the good chord around here, but he was actually mentioning something about video game balance, and he took it in an interesting angle, actually.
You know, G4 doesn't always get our attention, but Sessler...
Sessler's the man.
Sessler we're all right with.
Don't even get me started.
Okay. Yeah, he's actually pretty good, and I saw that video that you're about to mention. So go ahead, tell me what you took from it.
Basically, what he seems to mention, actually, it's mostly at the later part of the video, was his video on video game violence, which I know has been beaten to death, but let's bring it up once more.
For the record, this is Sessler's Soapbox.
Yeah.
That's the title of this little video blog that he does.
Yep. He's mentioned that one thing he's concerned about is that, considering we're always putting all this pressure on violence in media, like violence in fake media, that it seems like not that we're getting desensitized to violence and take media, but that we are already desensitized to real violence, and the fake media kind of exemplifies how much we are desensitized to real violence, because it's shocking there, but not shocking in reality.
So the example he used for this, there's a game called Mad World that I guess is eventually going to come out.
Mm-hmm.
And someone had written to him because he had it on the X-Play show, right? Mad World is apparently very violent in it, and there's a point where someone gets a flaming tire put on their head or something, and that's how they get killed, which I guess was also done in the apartheid in Africa. And so someone took offense to that and thought that he was like...
Back to the African stuff?
Yeah.
Evil, yeah.
So they decided that Adam was, promoting the game and approving of it, and I don't think it's reasonable to think that he was approving the apartheid just because he liked the game. But like you said, Scott, he was making the point at the end that, you know, people complain that there's all this violence in video games and that we're just getting desensitized to real video game violence. And he says, our vice president, according to him, is totally okay with torturing people. And every day we see all this real violence in the real world. Maybe it's the opposite. And the reason we feel bad and disgusted is that we're actually just getting too used to the real thing. What was that?
Because it is fake, and it doesn't hit the same nerves in our brain as real violence.
Yeah,
and
but
those other nerves haven't been sensitized yet. Yes.
I think another takeaway from what he said was how playing video games gives us a sense of power and a rush from being hunted, right? So you play it. He used the example of just any first-person shooter. You're playing a first-person shooter. There's a million people out to get you, and you're the one guy trying to save the world or whatever it is you're trying to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think there certainly is a rush as being... Like, in the past, I've talked about how I've decided that I prefer Guitar Hero over Rock Band because you're the star of the show in that case. And in Rock Band, you're just one of a bunch, and nobody really stands out. The only time you stand out is during your solo. And it's sort of this, maybe it's the same thing. I haven't read enough into the psychology of it, but, you know, you're the star of the show. You're making the impact. You're, it really builds your ego, right? You alone are performing this amazing feat of, you know, saving the world or taking out all these guys who are against you.
Burning the rope.
What was that?
Burning the rope.
Or burning the rope. Yeah. I wonder how few listeners actually get that reference. Look it up. So there's a feeling of power involved in playing a game. So unfortunately, some people take that feeling into the real world, and rape is a power struggle and murder is a power play and all that. But most people know that it's not really something you're supposed to do in the real world.
Yeah.
And the only reason people are getting upset about it, according to him, is that, you know, we have it in the real world and oops. We'd like to take our aggression out on video games since we can't really stop the real thing.
Well, in order to do that, you'd have to, like, fix the economy, fix healthcare, fix education. It's way much more effort to do than just say, oh, video games did it. Let's stop them.
Well, right. I think an easier solution is just to be magic.
Yeah.
Magic's good.
I was actually going to take his comment a little bit further. And let's say you take an Amish kid and you take a video gamer and then you take a cow.
You had me at Amish, Scott. All right, okay. keep it coming. I've taken an Amish kid and a gamer and a cow.
And then you gut a cow.
Let's gut the cow.
You pull its entrails out, whatever, clean it up to get ready to eat. Which one do you think will be ready to eat after he sees the very, very messy, violent, bloody cow that's just been mutilated in order to be served for dinner?
I eat it.
Always fantastic analogies.
The video gamer who has been, quote, desensitized for all his life by playing Doom, or the Amish kid who seen every day for lunch. No one would consider the Amish kid to be a violent person. But,
well, I'm going to tell you, I don't like your analogy so much because gore and violence don't necessarily go hand in hand.
I get what he's saying.
It was kind of a stretch, yes, but...
Yeah, I'm just going to chalk this one up, too. I don't want to touch that subject.
I get where he's going, though.
We're not desensitized to gore. They're saying desensitized to violence. It's very different. Right?
Well, how so?
The soap opera was about violence, but there has been discussion about gore as well.
Yeah, I mean, they might play into each other, where if you're violent with someone, you might see gore, but there's a difference between violently killing a cow and killing it because you're about to eat it. So, anyway.
Yeah, but, I mean, it still stands that even the person that plays Doom and it's like, oh, or, you know, whatever, first-person shooters,
if they watch a cow get,
like, slaughtered, like, if you've never seen that before, you kind of be like, wow, they just slaughtered the cow.
I kind of see the point. Kind
of. I mean, I'm cool with cows getting slaughtered. I've seen it before.
Dude, I can't even give a drop of blood through a pinprick. So but that's another problem of my own.
Yeah.
All right. Listen, thanks for calling, Scott. We've got another few minutes. So let's take Penn. We got a few minutes. Penn.
Hey, how's it going?
All right. You're going to tell us about Ara?
Yeah, it was awesome to hang out with him.
And your visit, was there candlelight?
Unfortunately, we didn't get to have that much fun because I was pretty under the weather, but we still hung out, you know, had a meal and talked a whole bunch.
Ah.
You talked a lot, eh?
Ah, yeah. So was it Arby's or Ruth's Chris?
Lido's.
Lido's. All right. Interesting. All right, so did you cover video game topics, or you just, you know?
Well, ironically, we did bring up a violent game, speaking on the subject, which was Manhunt. And
never
for me personally, I always put, like, I have in my mind a certain set of rules of what makes a good game, but in my mind, I always put a little asterisk, well, Manhunt doesn't count.
Does it count as a good game, or
it doesn't
is a good game that doesn't follow the rules?
Yeah, it's a good game that doesn't follow the rules.
Okay, so give me one of the rules that it doesn't follow.
Well, like, for example, it has to have deep mechanics for you to really get invested within the character.
Like Super Mario 64, which I got to show the girlfriend last night.
Nice.
All right.
Yeah, and it doesn't have that. It's really kind of simplistic. But that's because that game and Eternal Darkness have a psychological component to it that most games just wouldn't dream to be able to achieve. Like, most games are based off mechanics, but Manhunt works on a psychological level, like the crazy guy whispering in your ear, telling you to do better at the game. You actually start to listen to him, which is something that, you know, a lot of games have that character that kind of talks in your ear, but all they do is tell you what to do next. And I guess Portal would work in the same way, as in the person talking to you is giving you instructions, and it's messing with you psychologically, although I haven't played Portal. But I know from Manhunt that it had a powerful sort of control over me while I was playing the game.
All right.
This is off topic. Can I just put this out there, though? Only half of Manhunt is good. The second half is not good. Once they introduce guns, it gets lame. But everything before that's really fun.
I gotta tell you, I've only played Manhunt for like a couple minutes. I found it, like, I couldn't even figure out what was going on, and I just quit.
Yeah.
Yeah, like it's a great game. The second half with the guns is just harder.
What about Manhunt?
It makes sense why Rich didn't like it.
It's Manhunt easier. 2, the peeing on you. How do you feel about that?
Look, it's easier.
I never played Manhunt 2 because I fell in love with the first character so much that it was kind of a shame that they moved away from that.
Manhunt 2 is a lot of fun, though. You gotta play it. There's some extra stuff in there that's a lot of fun.
Manhunt, really?
Yeah.
It just did. It didn't impress. Like, what impressed me was the production of it, but the game itself didn't seem fun.
It's fun.
Maybe I could give it another try. Maybe.
Like when you beat a guy to death with a toilet bowl?
I got so much other stuff. All right, we'll be back after the break. All right, back again for the last segment of the show. We've got about 10 or 12 minutes to talk about the remaining things on the list. Actually, what I prefer to talk about is what I was getting at before about WiiWare and this discovery or realization in 2008 that these digitally distributed games are really the most interesting of the bunch. And this is because basically people are doing more interesting things. I could get, you know, the sequels, the big AAA titles that are just the same types of games I've already played. You know, Gears of War 2 is not that different from the original Gears of War. Wasn't that fantastic in the first place, the first time around. So, you don't always get new stuff. Like Little Big Planet, love it. Would never have been done over just a digitally distributed game. So, you know, I'm not discounting real
games. It could be a downloadable game, though. Little Big Planet doesn't have...
Of course, technically. In fact, originally, originally it was supposed to be, I think.
But yeah, any game can be a downloadable
could be,
game.
But you know what I'm saying, right?
Like on PC.
Like, that's a AAA title that's getting on a disc. It's being sold retail.
Right? Yeah.
It's not going to be a $10 or $15 game. But, you know, Braid was fantastic.
Oh, Braid was amazing. I want to buy Braid again.
Portal, if it was put out by itself, as it finally has been, probably would not have been a disc game. It would have just been downloadable.
Yeah, well, because it's on Xbox Live Arcade, and you can buy it on PC by itself now, too.
Yeah, but,
for,
I mean...
$10.
Before, you can even buy it on PC in disc form, just Portal.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I've seen it somewhere, like $10 or something. Right, but, you know, Portal's fantastic. I named a bunch of games earlier, too, that are great on Xbox Live Arcade, and we all know, those who listen to the show, how much I hate digital distribution.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like the games that are available on it. This has put me in quite a tight spot because, and like, how do you choose, right? At my core, I refuse to really put myself out and purchase a lot of digitally distributed games. And I've gotten a few, you know, and I probably will if they really stand out enough. But like, you know, I've got Braid and I got Catan and, you know, when a WiiWare game is good enough, I may pay for it too, but the point is that, that's not the point I'm trying to make. Really, we all know I hate digital distribution, but I'm happy that these games are becoming available. You were telling me about Steam earlier today about how
amazing it is.
Yeah, about how it's done a good job of dealing with some of the concerns that people have about digital distribution. Like if you download a game, you certainly have to be online, one, to download it, and two, to like validate it the first time you play. But I guess you're saying you can archive that data. And then bring it back into Steam later. I wonder if you've actually tried this.
No, I've done this before because I've done it before where I know I've had to reformat my computer. So instead of just reformatting it, I take Half-Life 2 and put it onto my external hard drive. Like the whole Steam folder, I just copy over to my external hard drive. I reformat my computer. I install Steam so all the default files are there and I just move everything back in. Mm-hmm. And poof, it shows like here's the games that you've purchased. And it shows, okay, here's the games you've installed, and here's the games that aren't installed. So when you basically close Steam, you move all the files in, it goes, hey, this game's installed, because I see those files there. You want to play it now? And you say, yes, I do.
And you know what? Xbox Live has probably become, you know, the Steam of at least the Xbox.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you buy these games, and you can re-download them. And I've had to do that before, like when I got... I had to pretend to re-download them, even though they were still on my hard drive.
Yeah.
because I got the replacement machine, and I was able to transfer the license over, right? So as long as the system that's backing these digitally distributed games is going to be provided long life, then it's all right, right? Because realistically, okay, I'm going to have internet for the rest of my life. It's probably going to exist as long as humanity does, unless our infrastructures break down. Right.
In which case, you're not going to be playing games.
So the internet's going to be around. and Microsoft and Xbox hopefully will be around. I still don't like the fact that there's essentially permanent price fixing, even though there's some deals over Christmas and they lower prices eventually. But it's not like I can go to the bargain bin at any store and the free market economy exists for these discs.
And see, on Xbox, it is different. But like on Steam... Like, prices do fluctuate, go down and stuff like that. Like, right now, I mean, the different developers can set the prices, because it's like an open, I mean, Valve, it's all through Valve, so it's like you have to be approved by Valve to, like, put your game on Steam. But, like, you can have games anywhere priced from $5 to $50. And so games go down in price over time.
And I imagine if the market was all digitally distributed, that the prices would have... more frequent changes to lower, you know, and make things more attractive to people. But the free market doesn't exist, and the ability to sell a game that you've purchased, the used economy, which is something we've discussed in past shows, certainly doesn't exist.
You can't... It's kind of weird with Steam, though, because you can gift games and send them to people.
Well, that's fine, but then as the recipient of a game, you can't sell it.
It's not like officially selling it, but what you can do is you can give that game to somebody else.
That's a totally different issue. That just allows gifting. That's fine, right? My point is I like the fact that I own a game and I can resell it. Or I can get an autograph on it or whatever, right? I like having that. But getting back to my original point, it's enabling some amazing creativity. And there was another thing, I mentioned Joystick again, earlier today. I read, although I think it's actually several days old, the top XNA community games, which, you know, this is something we talked about after GDC this year. And we even had one of the guys on the show, James something, can't remember his last name right now. He was making The Dishwasher, which I don't think has even been released yet.
Which I want to play because it was awesome.
Yeah. So they had this like short-lived beta where you could play some XNA community games for free, and that, but they were only good for like 2 weeks or something, and now the games don't work anymore. But they've actually started releasing XNA community games, and I haven't even paid attention to them, but they have been available. And I saw a video on Joystick of one of them, like Carnival something, and like you have to shoot this puppet around all over the place.
Gymnastics game.
Kind of. I mean, it's like Big Top Circus is the theme, and you just have to move this guy throughout the level, but you're doing it in ways that are actually kind of like games that deal with gravity. And anyway.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
So it actually looks like a lot of fun, and that's the sort of game you're not going to get when you go to the store and pay $50. And like basically the difference is they're games with shorter development cycles, smaller teams, and lower price points. And that sort of stuff does exist. Like you look at the Wii, and I was in Walgreens last week, and there were $20 games made for the Wii. But those weren't quality games with short life production cycles and small teams. They were just
crap games.
Companies trying to make money on the fact that there's a big install base for the Wii, making absolute crap games geared towards just idiot little kids who have no discretion about video games. I wish that there was some mechanism for those crappy publishers who put out $20 Wii games. Why don't they just go out to these people and say, we'll publish your game that normally would be a WiiWare game? They should do that. And I would be a happy person because I'd get to play the cool games and not pay a lot for them. So clearly the ability to distribute physical media at a low price point exists since it's done on the Wii. There's no reason you couldn't print a disc that works on the 360.
Printing DVDs is cheap.
Right? There's absolutely no reason. Of course, you do save money on, you know, not packaging and shipping. So I see the benefit to digital distribution, and I think it's great that XNA developers are getting that opportunity. And I really like the creativity that's coming. So there's all, I tell our listeners now, I'm telling them, if you're looking for interesting gameplay, which I'd like to think all of you are, I still hate digital distribution, damn it. But take your money and put it towards some of those. There's lists on the web that will tell you what the good ones are and what the crap ones are, and there's a lot of crap. So have discretion. But like on Xbox, at least you can try them out first. On the Wii, you can't.
Yeah.
But, you know, Metacritic is a good place to check, and they'll say World of Goo, I think, is on all the systems, right?
Yeah.
World of Goo isn't just Wii.
I need to download it on Steam. It's on Steam. I haven't played it, though, yet.
Yeah. So, honestly, that game is rated very highly. The little bit that I played of it, it was interesting.
World of Goo was like a Flash game, like, 6 years ago, by the way.
Okay. I didn't play it.
Not fully developed, but...
But the game itself, honestly, didn't... It was kind of interesting, but didn't look that amazing to me. I really liked the production around it. That was cool. But the gameplay itself was, it was iffy. But it's getting highly rated, so you can give it a shot. I don't even know if it's an Xbox Live Arcade game. I know it's on the Wii, and I know
it's on
Steam.
Wii and Steam, but...
So anyway, take a look at those games. You know, if you have been alive for the past few years, you know of Geometry Wars, which was an awesome game. And, of course, the second one's available, too, on Xbox Live Arcade. So focus on some of those games for a while and quit, you know, looking at the big title... AAA games that you've traditionally looked at, because that's really not where the good stuff is anymore. And I mean, there are some good things, but well, yeah, I mean, you should, right?
Yeah,
but
those games are so fun.
But honestly, like this Christmas season, what can you think of that really excited you this Christmas season? Like Little Big Planet was the only one.
Left 4 Dead, Mirror's Edge was fun. Prince of Persia is neat, but it's different.
I guess Left 4 Dead and Dead Space.
Dead Space, actually, yeah. I think EA came out with two original games this season, Mirror's Edge and Dead Space, and both were very fun. And
should
very
we give
different.
Them a little golf clap for releasing games that don't suck and weren't?
No, I think EA. I've been saying it for 2 years that they've been turning around.
All right, little golf clap, single hand clap. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I've heard they've done a good job. I have not played a lot of Left 4 Dead or Dead Space, but I've heard really good things about them. They're first-person shooters again,
I'm getting
right?
it. I got Left 4 Dead on PC, so I'm going to
actually,
play it.
Is Dead Space first-person or third-person?
Third.
It's third.
And it's very fun.
It's essentially first-person.
No, it's not.
It's pretty close.
It's third-person.
Same type of game mechanic.
It's similar.
You can just see the guy's back.
Yeah.
Right? All right.
And you shoot things. And it's scary.
Thanks for listening, everybody, even through Ron Workman. That was actually, I think, was an interesting part of the show. But not so video game related.
He's always an exciting guy.
I may be back in a couple weeks to talk about CES. We will definitely be here next week with Ara, who I hope will tell us about his love affair with Pen 15.
I hope so.
All right, so stay tuned. We'll be back next week. Thanks for listening, everyone. And if you have anything that you'd like us to talk about, feel free to email Alon or Ara or even Rich at chatterboxgameshow.com.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.